Go ahead and get started this morning. Got a good Sunday school lesson this morning. I want to try to give as much time to it as I can. How many brought you Bible with you this morning? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Probably about...
All of them back there.
Yeah, probably about 10, I guess.
And you got Melissa
and
her Bible.
Probably about 10. All right. There's Anita and Luke and Jesse. Our Sunday school lesson this morning is in Luke chapter 2. And we have been in 2 Kings, and the lesson jumped over to Luke because it's about the birth of Jesus. I know the world don't want to recognize the birth of Jesus. They don't want to give any emphasis to it. And our golden text is Luke 2:14, where the angelic host said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Amen. And two things to notice in that verse is glory to God and on earth. And I'm not in heaven. I wish there was. I envy those that are there. But waiting for Him to come for me while I'm on earth, I do want to give glory to God. Every opportunity we have, we're to give glory to God. He's a certainly worthy of glory. And the world, they don't want to give any glory to Him. They want to give glory to others. My introduction to this lesson says the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem that day, what did it mean? And it meant deliverance. These shepherds which were told this news, these shepherds were told of a Savior. Promise of a Savior had already been given. Now He's been produced. And they're told of the Savior. They're told where that He could be found. But also the significance of it was the deliverance from bondage and the penalty of sin. In that day, into the world was born a Savior, a divine Redeemer, one who could save the souls of men from the penalty and the curse of sin. It meant a fulfillment of prophecy, a fulfillment of a promise from God that He'd be born. And now Christ has been born, the Messiah, the hope for the human race, the hope that this sin-stricken world could recover and rise from sin and rise from its ignorance, from its superstitions, from its godliness, and walk in the newness of life and love and likeness of the Heavenly Father. You know, Jesus told that woman in John chapter 4, He said, "You worship you know not what." A lot of people fit that category. They do worship, but they don't know what they worship. Paul talked about some worshiping devils, and a lot of people do that, don't realize it. But our first verse, Luke chapter 2, verse 1, some of my favorite terminology in the Bible says, "And it came to pass." I like that. I like the reality of the Word of God. It said, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." The divine will expressed 7 centuries before this time by Micah was that the Messiah, Jesus, will be born in Bethlehem, and God is, through this taxation, He's setting the order of events. Because they weren't in Bethlehem. But this decree made from this heathenistic emperor at Rome demanded this taxation, this simple circumstance, brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem in time to the appointed place that the Lord could be born, at the place He's supposed to be born. Micah said that in Bethlehem that he'd be born. Then verse 2 said, and this taxation was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but you know, the Lord has done that a lot of times in my life, and I'm sure He has in other people's life. I've been just driving down the road, go the same place that I always went.
Right.
Take a wrong turn, especially like when we went to Louisville or places we've had to take the kids and things for special things, and, you know, sicknesses and different things. Take a wrong turn.
Right.
Stop for ask for directions or something, or get back on the right road. And wind up testifying to somebody
right
there, testifying witness to me, and you know, the children or Jesse would be able to share some of his story.
Right.
You know, and everybody would get a lesson. It's like the Lord meant for that wrong turn.
That's true.
Just for that moment, just for that time, when there was no way in the world that if I had tried to plan it out, it would have ever happened.
Right.
And it's just seems like it's just that way.
And, you sorry
know, you know, I just thank the Lord for the thing that He does do that to us, because He can.
Try.
Where He wants us to, and it can be the farthest thing from our minds if it's something for His glory or something that His will.
Amen, Sister Anita. The Bible said that our steps are ordered by the Lord, but divine providence, God, you know, you look at Pharaoh, which was king in Egypt, and Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice?" That's Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. And yet, God said that He raised up Pharaoh to make a name for Himself, and he was right where he's supposed to be, doing right what he's supposed to do. And God did make a name for Himself by a man called Pharaoh. By the way, if you don't know what Pharaoh ended up at, you can look in Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 16 through 18, and God will tell you what Pharaoh is. Said he's in hell. That's unusual for God to mention the name of someone in hell. But in Pharaoh's case, He mentioned that Pharaoh's in hell. Verse 2 said, and this taxation was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And this taxation is mentioned in 4 of the first 5 verses of this chapter. The significance of it was it caused, like Sister Anita said, it caused that Jesus would be born in the place that He was to be born in. It was significant in that prophecy was fulfilled, and the providence of God had a hand in this. Verse 3 said, all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And that's nothing but the hand of God directing in this matter of the birth of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. John looked upon Him and said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Verse 4 said, and Joseph also went up from Galilee. Now it's important that Jesus wasn't born in Galilee. Now He did return to Galilee after He was born. Matter of fact, He's called Jesus of Nazareth many places in the Bible. But He was born in Bethlehem, and that's very important, because had He not been born in Bethlehem, He could not have fulfilled the Scriptures wrote about Him. Joseph said He went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. The position of Joseph, he was just a common village carpenter. He wasn't not one of the elite. He wasn't great anything. Just a humble carpenter. His wife, just a humble maid, Mary. And the humble state of these two shows that God works through humility, works through, not mighty, not rich, not noble, but just common. He took a common man named Joseph, a common woman named Mary, and introduced to this world His Son, which we will be preaching about today. But verse 5 says that He went there to be taxed with Mary, His espoused wife, being great with child. How readily Joseph and Mary yielded obedience to this task, which was no less than a tremendous burden. 4 days' journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And the lesson brought out, what woman ever undertook so hazardous a journey when being so near that her deliverance was upon her. She was great with child, it says in verse 5. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. The whole world's history hinges upon this night. I know we've got this week coming up, which we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And you know, the world, they want to somehow take that out, somehow disallow, somehow deny. But I'll tell you right now, the whole hinge of the world turns upon this day when He was born. You got B.C., before Christ, A.D., after the death of Christ, and now they call it the common era and all that right there, but they'll get all straightened out. It won't be too hard to straighten it out. But the hinge of history centers upon the birth of God's Son. Mankind from Adam had waited for this night. All the prophets from Enoch to John the Baptist had labored to prepare the way for Him that was to come. And here He is now making His entrance. The Word now made flesh. God descended into man to raise man to God. And I'll say glory to God that He came down so we could go up. If He hadn't have came down, we wouldn't go up. But verse 7 said she brought forth her firstborn son. Now some of these new versions of the Bible, they don't say that a virgin conceived and bore a son like the Bible says in Isaiah 7:14, but they say a maid had a son. And if this wasn't her firstborn son, then the Word of God couldn't be fulfilled. So it's very significant, verse 7, that Mary brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem was the most important birth that ever took place. The world, had they appreciated this event, it would have been a whole lot more blessing than it was. But it was a blessing whether they appreciated it or not that God gave His Son. And the precious child now has come into the world and in a stable, in a humble environment. And He was in this birth humiliated to be born in the cattle pen. You know, in a dirty, stinking stables where the Son of God was born, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were other places which had room. The palaces of the emperor had room. The halls of kings had room. The royal stranger here, Jesus, there was no refuge, no room. There was room for senators. There was room for political discussion. Representatives of the law, there'd be room for them, but no room for Christ. How little room there is for Him even today in what's called society. And there's room for the idols of the hour, but no room for Christ. How little room for Him there is in business. How little room for Him there is in schools of philosophers. How little room even in the church. They say now today, go to the church of your will. I say go where He is. That's what I say. But no place for the Prince of Peace. Only in the humble and contrite in heart, which by grace yields to Him a place of shelter. And I'm glad, praise God, He had, that there was room for me in Him, and He took His rightful place. Let me say this about Him. Romans chapter 3, verse 29 said, "Is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also of the Gentiles?" Yes, the God of the Gentiles also. I mean, He's the God of all. And yet, there was no room given to Him. And the Bible said that they went to Bethlehem and He's born in a manger. Boy, that ought not be so. Verse 8 says, "And there were in the same country Shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And this is the most great, gracious manifestation announcement that was ever made, and it was made to these humble Hebrew shepherds. God chose them for His instruments to bear this news and to hear these tidings. God chose these lowly shepherds, His divine favor upon them, in which they were to know about this blessed event. And this providence was placed upon them. Verse 9 said, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." The announcement was more than they could bear.
Brother Wayne, don't you think there's such a deep meaning? We really wanted to study on it. The fact that they went to the shepherd. You know, He was going to be our shepherd. He was going to be...
That's right, He's the good shepherd.
From the very beginning. There's just so much you could just pull out of every single word of the Lord that would just...
Amen, Sister Anita.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. The world wants to deny, but He is divine. And somehow or another, He winks at all the ignorance of this world and commands men everywhere to repent. And I'm glad that He is gracious and good. I'm glad He's long-suffering. But like Anita said, He chose these humble shepherds. And, you know, He didn't choose King Herod. He didn't choose Caesar Augustus. He didn't choose any noble or any hierarchy or anything like that. Right there, just humble shepherds. And He sent this angel. Verse 9 said, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." This event is unprecedented. In the world, you can think of a lot of things that might come. But this is an event that's one in a only. And here it is. It came to pass. Verse 10, "And an angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The angel at once set these shepherds at ease and told them to fear not, and then delivered unto them these glad tidings of a Savior that has been born. He brought them the best tidings the world's ever heard. And He said, not only to them, but also to all people. And He's the God of all. I know people, they don't want to acknowledge, they want to be an atheist or agnostic. And you can. You can die a fool, you can live a fool. You can go out to meet God on the terms of being a fool. But I'll tell you right now, God extended His mercy to all. He extended His invitation to all. His love to all. He didn't just give this blessing to a few. He gave it to all. Verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And even though that brings joy to me, it doesn't bring joy to everyone. To some people, they don't want to hear that name Jesus. they'll take you to court and sue you because you mention that name Jesus. They resent Him. They don't regard Him. Even though He loves them, they don't want anything to do with Him. But He said, "Unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed. He's Lord of all, Sovereign. He's God. He's Jehovah. And a lot of people don't know Him. But those that do know Him know these are all attributes to Him. And He will be a Savior to those that will accept Him as their Lord. And verse 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that through His poverty ye might be rich." And His birth spoke of His poverty. And He also told in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, He told a scribe They wanted to follow Him. He said the Son of Man has not where to lay His head. Again, speaking about His poverty. He borrowed a ship and taught the multitudes of that ship in Matthew chapter 13, verse 2. He borrowed a lunch and fed 5,000 besides women and children, Matthew 14, verse 19 through 21. He borrowed a fish to deliver a piece of money to pay tribute for Him and Peter. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 29, He borrowed a penny to show the difference between Caesar and God. Matthew chapter 22, verse 19 through 21. He had nothing but the clothes upon His back. And you know, we've heard a lot of people say when they died, all they had was the clothes on their back. That described Jesus at His death as all He had. Matthew 27, verse 35, they gambled for the clothes. They cast lots for His vesture. And they parted His garments. Verse 8, He borrowed a grave from a rich man named Joseph of Arimathea, Matthew 27, verse 57 through 60. He borrowed His parents. He borrowed the manger. He borrowed the swaddling clothes just to make His entry into the world. Born to poor parents in a filthy, stinking manger. And He made no demands because it was His humiliation. Mentioned in Acts chapter 8, verse 33. His birth was a miraculous birth, as miraculous as Isaac's birth was to Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was 99 years old when God told him that he would have a son. Sarah was 90 years old, Genesis 17 and 17. And 1 year later is when she gave birth to Isaac. Good to have Brother Richard here this morning. We was praying for him this morning. Here he is. Wonderful. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Genesis 18, verse 11. Romans 4, 19 said Abraham staggered not at the promise of God and didn't even consider the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he believed the report that she would bear a son, and she did. But as miraculous as the virgin birth of Jesus to Mary, also was the birth of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah. How parallel they run. But here we've got this miraculous birth. We've got this miraculous announcement. We've got these humble shepherds that have heard this news. You know, a lot of people, they hear about Jesus. They hear about Him Sophie on the radio. They hear about Him on the TV. They hear about it from friends and family and neighbors. But these shepherds done more than hear about it. They said they go see about it. That's what makes the difference. These shepherds, they done more than hear. Here's what was told them. Verse 12. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And He gives them a sign. He said, you'll find Him. You'll find Him in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And I'll tell you what, buddy. Emmanuel come into this world, and at this announcement about finding Him, verse 13 says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. That multitude of the heavenly hosts, I don't know that these were angelic beings. I don't know. I just know it said it was heavenly hosts. But I'll tell you one thing, the angelic music, the sweetest songs now fill the air, the celestial comfort, the hope of the hour to the human race now has been manifested. The gospel of Jesus has been announced and offered to every burdened heart. A place to find peace. To find profound and precious promises. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, wherefore are given unto us, you and me, yeah, you, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. We think about people giving gifts. Some people don't. Some people do. Some people give great. Some give small. The greatest gift that was ever given came in the form of a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And on Him, the divine promise of God hinged upon Him. Verse 15 said, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They were willing to go. They were wanting to see this blessing. You know, I've invited people to get saved. I've invited people to come hear the preaching of the Word of God. We have, we record these services. We put them on the internet. And the reason we do it, we're inviting people. You know, we're His ambassadors according to the Word of God. Jesus said we're the light of the world and the world's in darkness and we got what they need. But you know what? We can invite and we can compel them to come. Most won't. These shepherds, they've done something most wouldn't. They said, let's go and see. And on that website there, out there at work, they said we've got a bunch of Christmas cards in the break room. And we'd like to encourage everyone to fill out as many as you want. We're going to send them to them troops over there, in Afghanistan. And I tell you what, I get to thinking about that in a different concept. Sophie, I get to thinking I can get the Word of God over there.
Yes.
So I got them Christmas cards and I put about 20 or so verses in there. And I told them, I said, want you to be blessed. Want you to enjoy this Christmas season. But then I put some cards in there about our church's website. And some of them men have not just visited the website, they left comments. One of them, his name, I hope he hears this, Chris White, he said, I'm in Afghanistan. He said, the service is not too good, but he said, it's good to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
I say, hallelujah. You know, the Bible tells us, Anita, to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. And when they opened up in Christmas cards, somebody said, there's something in here. You know what it is? It's an opportunity to hear the Word of God. And some of those men, they acted on that, Anita. And they went to that website and they heard the preaching. They heard the songs of God. Anthony had it in his heart to start that website and he done more than have it in his heart. He come to me and said, is it okay? I said, by all means, Godspeed, do it. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't an accident. I believe it's like the birth of Jesus. I believe it's meant to be, amen. But you know what? These shepherds done something that most won't do. They said, let's go and see, amen. Let's go even to Bethlehem and see this thing. I wish we could fill this church. Man, Brother Melvin, we've been to countless homes. We've made all kind of effort. Passed out tracts. It ain't been too long. Me and him went to a man's house and we didn't know the man was asleep, but we went over and all good honesty and good our motive was good. We just wanted to, he said he wanted to get saved. We just wanted to try to help him get saved, but we ended up waking him up. I don't know what all his circumstances was, but he got mad and told us pretty much not to come back. But you know, we were bearing good tidings. He's a lost man, wanted to get saved. Our timing may not have been exactly right, but our motive was right. All we wanted to do was help him. That Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, when Philip came up on him as he's reading Isaiah chapter 53, Philip just said to understand what thou readest. And that Ethiopian eunuch didn't say, don't bother me, I'm reading the Bible. He said, how can I accept some man guide me? And he invited Philip to come up there in the chariot and he began that same scripture, Anita, and he preached to him Jesus. That Ethiopian eunuch, buddy, he heard the preaching of the Word of God. He got to thinking eternal thoughts, and he said, behold, here's water. What doeth hinder me in being baptized? And if you got the right Bible, verse 37 is in your Bible if you got the right one. Now, if you got a Bible, don't have Acts chapter 8, verse 37. I'd use that thing sort of far with, it ain't fit to have, because you know that Acts 8 verse 37, that don't line up with everybody's doctrine. Let me just tell you this right off the bat. God's a jealous God. He's not as compassionate as everybody might think. He's not as easygoing as everybody might think. God said what He meant. God meant what He said. But that verse right there, Philip said, when he said, behold, here's water, what does hinder men being baptized? And a lot of people think baptism saves you, so Philip cleaned the air. And that verse right there says, if thou believest, thou mayest. That Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he stopped that chariot and they went down and got baptized. But if you don't believe, ain't no sense getting baptized. I baptized people. Didn't they believe, Brother Eddie? Well, they gave a profession. I don't know the heart. God does. The Bible said God's greater than the heart, knows all things. I know one man that come to me, made a profession. They wanted to get baptized. I baptized them. I didn't help them. I didn't hurt them. I just fulfilled their request. But I'll tell you what the Bible said to him that believeth and is baptized, he shall be saved. Read that next verse there, Mac, in Mark chapter 16. Read that next verse. Mark 16:15, I believe it is. Read Mark 16:16. To him that believeth not shall be damned. He didn't say nothing about baptism in, did he? He said, to him that believeth and is baptized, he shall be saved. But to him that believeth not, he shall be damned. I'm telling you, the hinges don't believe. And he opened in and said, I believe. And Philip said, I baptize you then. These shepherds here, they came. They came. They said, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see. Make sure I gave you the right verse there. Yeah. Look here in Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. I want you to know where the emphasis is on. It's on believing, amen. Here we go. And that doesn't line up with everybody and they didn't like it. But these shepherds, they said, let us go now even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Everybody won't come. Everybody won't hear. Everybody won't receive, but all are invited, I tell you that. Those shepherds went at once to Bethlehem. They made the journey themselves. They resolved to go see this Savior. Verse 16 said they came with haste. Notice the next two words, and found. I'll tell you right now, you can find. If you go to the right place, you can find. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They came to see. And when they saw, they believed. Verse 17. And when they seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You know, Peter, he made the statement. He said, we've not followed cunning devised fables, but were eyewitnesses. That's what these shepherds were. They were eyewitnesses of the birth of Jesus. There wasn't no controversy to them. I mean, buddy, I will say this. Thomas said, except I see, I ain't going to believe. And Jesus manifested for Thomas' sake. And he said, Thomas, behold my hands, thrust your finger in the nail print, put your hand in my side, and be not faithless, but believe. And Thomas said, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said, because you've seen, you believe, boy. Ain't no faith in that. But I will tell you one thing. When you do see, you do know what you saw. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They saw Jesus. They saw Him in the manger. They saw the circumstances of how humble, how poor the birth of this blessed one was. And they agreed with all that had been told them and given them by the angels. By the way, they were satisfied with what they saw. They made known abroad this testimony. They told others concerning this child that He was the Savior, Christ the Lord. And in Him there could be peace on earth. And now He's in the world. And the Bible said the world knew Him not. It's their own fault. For they have sufficient evidence and notice given unto them. Everybody's not excited. Boy, if you've been on the internet very much at all, and I have, I like to stay informed. But if you've been on the internet, there's been an all-out war going on right now to crush people's Christmas. They've been stealing the babes out of the manger scenes. They've been stealing the gifts that have been gathered up to give to families that are poor and they don't have no means of helping themselves. And people have been breaking into churches and stealing all these gifts and money that's been appropriated to these families in poverty. An all-out effort to try to crunch and kill people's spirit. You know, this is a good time that we're celebrating. It's a time when God came down and gave His unspeakable gift to everyone that lived alive. Everyone that's living. Jesus came and died for. Amen. What you got there, sis?
I was just going to say,
Acts 8 verse 37. Acts chapter 8 verse 37. If you don't have the right Bible, that verse will not be in your Bible, and your Bible will go Acts chapter 8 verse 36 to Acts chapter 8 verse 38. Now that's pretty bad. They didn't get the numerology even right. They left the whole number, the whole verse, they left everything out. Acts chapter 8 verse 37. But there's no excuse for not knowing Jesus. And yet there'll be people dying their sins even today. You know, the Mayan calendar said the world was going to end December the 21st, 2012. And you know, it didn't come to pass, and only a fool would have believed it, but a lot of people, their world ended on that day, Sophia. Their world ended because they made no preparation to meet Him, and they went out unprepared to meet God, heard the saddest words ever spoken, "Depart from me, I never knew you," and were cast into a devil's hell, and their world came to an end. You know one thing about your life's an opportunity to know Him. The Bible said in the book of James, your life's but a vapor. For a little while it appears, and then vanishes away, just like this. Lord, get to know Him while you got opportunity. God said He gave Jezebel space to repent, and He went on to say she repented not. What a sad thing it was to Jezebel, but it's sad with others. I'm telling you, these shepherds, they made haste. They went to see. They found everything told just as it was told them. And then they went and made known the saying. They went out and spread the news. You know, we try to spread the news, and it is good news. Paul said the good news is that Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners. He said, of whom I'm chief. Listen, if God can save the chiefest of sinners, He can save you and me. Amen. Oh, common sinners. Verse 18, and all they that heard it, oh, it's sad. Brother James, all they done was wondered. They scratched their heads and said, man, that's something, ain't it? All that heard it wondered. Sister Anita, instead of going seeing for themselves, instead of inquiring, trying to find out more about it, all they did was just wonder. It wasn't no further than in their mind entertained the thought and said, ain't worth checking out. Boy, that's the mind of today. The world today, all the things that there are to wonder, the greatest thing that there is, all they do, they wondered at those things which are told them by the shepherds. These shepherds were just plain men. They could not put any weight to the testimony. And those that heard it could not but wonder at it because maybe the messengers, maybe they thought the king should have been the one to make the announcement. Maybe they thought Caesar Augustus should have been the one to make the announcement. Maybe they thought, you know, Cyrenius, the governor of Syria, maybe they thought some noble ought to make the announcement. These plain shepherds, now, all they did was wonder at the news of the Messiah born in the stable. And since He wasn't born in the palace, it shouldn't be no big deal. But here now, the news of it is given to these poor shepherds, not to the chief priest. All of them was wondered and never inquired any about it. You know, they let it drop as a wonder. It's amazing the stupidity of men of that generation, but also it belongs to our generation. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 41 through 44, and I may just look at it real quick rather than try to quote it. But in Luke 19, Jesus said this, when He come near the city, He wept over it, saying, if thou had known, even thou at least in this day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. They shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Somebody today may hear the gospel for the last time. because the time of that visitation may be today. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not no prophet. I'm no gloom and doom. But I'll tell you one thing. All they done was wonder at this announcement. They never went any further than just thinking about it. Verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. This was precious to her. She knew her child was the Son of God. It had been told her by Gabriel. He made the announcement. And at the announcement, she bowed herself to God in faith and yielded herself the handmaid of the Lord. And now she's remembering the announcement that was given her. Now she's kept in her heart the fulfillment of the promise that was told that she would be the mother of Jesus. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they'd heard and seen as it was told unto them. You know, one thing today, if we would really realize all that's been given to us, we'd enjoy it a whole lot more. And they'd been told that if they'd go, they'd see, and they went and saw, and everything was just exactly like it was told them. And now it's just sinking in, and now they're praising God, glorifying God. These poor shepherds were the instruments God used to spread these glad tidings in a very humble way. They saw and heard the Word of God, and they went and spread the news. It was God's plan. Those who need and have found a Savior who are best adapted to proclaim it to others. You know what? If I wasn't saved, I would have a hard time telling you how to be saved, because I wouldn't know, first of all, that I myself was even saved. Now, I don't know how you put something like that into words anyway. It's better experienced than explained. It's better felt than told, but I will tell you one thing. The best day of my life was April the 27th, 1988, when I, Eddie Wade, knelt down at the throne of mercy and called upon Him that's rich in mercy and all that call upon Him. I came with nothing but left with everything.
Amen.
Man, He filled me to the brim, Sister Anita. I wish I could do it again. Man, I'm telling you what, I still remember how jubilant that moment was. I remember getting up and looking in the mirror, and the mirror couldn't show up, but I couldn't hide it. My mama called me a fanatic, and rightly so. My dad said, I'm happy for you, but I don't want what you got. I wish I could rip some of this off. I wish I could take some of this out and I guess give free samples of it away. And the psalmist rightly said in Psalm 34 verse 8, oh, taste and see and know that the Lord is good. Some people just ain't never tasted, but I'll tell you one thing, it finally sunk into these shepherds. And the Bible said when it did, it said they praised God and they glorified God for all the things that they'd seen and all the things that was told to them. And it finally sunk in, it finally hit home. And the reality of the Savior and the reality of the event, it was more. And you know what the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And you get a good dose of Jesus, I'll tell you one thing it'll do. It'll cause you not to be able to be silent. I'll tell you, I may not know exactly how to say it. I may not even say it to the ones that want to hear it, but everywhere I go, I try to tell people about Jesus, Margaret. I was listening to radio on the way up here. And I guess it was Clarence Jared that was on the radio at that time. He was talking about this guy who was in his car wreck. And they said that he wouldn't live. And they said if he does live, he'll never be able to walk. And if he does live, he'll be in a vegetative state. He'll not have any ability to talk or anything. And that man lived. And not only did he live, he walked. And the people, when they saw him, they went to the other side of the street because they knew all he was going to do was tell them about the love of God and the mercy of God and the salvation of God. And not everybody wanted to hear it. And you know, I'll tell you one thing. Those that do know Him, they want to tell others. They want others to know Him. I'd rather be in heaven. I won't lie about it. I'd rather be in heaven. I'm like Paul that said, depart and be with Christ far better. And some people have already departed and be with Christ. But he said to remain here is more needful, and here's why it's needful. It's because you're the only instrument that God has to use to tell other people about the salvation and the mercy and the grace of God, that what He's done for you, He can do for them. You know, some people, Margaret gave a testimony a while back And other people have given testimony also, but some people hear what God's done in your life and their faith is increased, their faith is stirred up, and they say, if God can do that for her, He can do that for me. And that's why testimonies are important. Somebody hear about you making it through something, and it stirs up their faith, and they think, well, if God can get them through that, He can get me through my trial. It's important. These shepherds, they weren't anything but poor, humble shepherds, but God brought the news to them. And they done more than hear. They went and seen it, Jessica. They done more than go and see it, Monica. They went and told others about it, and all that they told just wondered at it. They didn't come and see Charity. They didn't come and see. They just wondered at the sayings of these shepherds. But all were invited to come. All were told. And all should have came. All should have gave heed. Oh, what a Sunday school lesson. Amen. All right, we'll stop right there. And get Brother James, if he would, to help us in our Sunday school.